Croeso and welcome to Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to direct you straight to the heart of history, to write you into the annals of history.
History, and twice, nice.
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry, I'm absolutely flapping now. I'm nervous, I've got a guest on.
I had to
show myself to be competent and I've done the opposite.
Well,
anyway, welcome to Tales for Wales, here you are, yeah, you've been here before.
And we got a new guest on today, Director Dan. Croeso, Dan.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. I've been listening to the podcast for a while, and I thought, you know, this is no good. I thought these lads need help.
I got to come on and tell them.
I got to go and show them how it's done. Yeah.
Well, you were already our favourite guest because you sent us a crate of booze in the post, which is always the way to our heart.
Just about to say, I've known Franks for what, nigh on 20 odd years now. Yeah. You've reached parity with him now for giving us a load of beer. You're only just below my wife, as far as I'm concerned.
There's nothing like free beer, is there?
No. And I did like the message. It's from Purple Moose Brewery, which I'm sure you might chat a little bit more about in a bit. But in the letter I had from them, I think you might have told them I'm not a fan of like tastier alcohol. And it said, hopefully this will convert you to something other than lager. But we'll see. We shall see.
I'm just saying, Purple Moose have a very tall order in front of them, but I'm sure we'll give it a best go.
I've got mine here now, actually. I've got my Mush Lager. Let me just open that. But I have got a Carlin Chaser, just in case I can't stand it.
There's my hand in it again.
Yeah. That's nice. You know, but thanks for the beer, but it was so bad that I had to wash it down with
pitch. I was about to say, wash it down with Carlin, of all things. Yeah.
I think it speaks more about me than it does anything else that my taste can only handle. But
Dan,
I don't think I'm being
ungrateful either. I haven't collected my half of the beer stock yet. I'm just on a bog standard piss lager, but don't worry, I'll be on the good stuff soon.
Are you having anything, Dan?
Yes, I'm on a snow. I'll open it on ostentatiously on mic. I'm on a Snowdonia.
Nice.
Purple Moose Snowdonia Ale, which is. I'm not an advertiser, you know. I'm not one to whore myself out for commercial gain. I'm about film, you know. That's
film. You got the integrity, haven't you? That's it.
Yeah, the integrity. And this film, the main thing about it has got to be thirst quenchingly delicious.
Yeah,
like the beer at Purple Moose Brewery, the Wales's premier brewery. I'll be with you. I'm just going to have some of this delicious beer.
Let's hear it go down.
I'm half expecting like all the Arthurian imagery to be replaced with like, and you can have a nice, cold, refreshing Snowdon from Purple Moose Brewery.
Well, you know the thing is, it's a bit like childbirth. You start before you have a kid, you're going to go, we are going to have a water. It's going to be all organic. We don't need drugs, you know. And then you get to the actual event, and it's like, get me the fucking
where the hell is this fucking epidural?
So, filmmaking's a bit like that. I mean, you find yourself sort of taking more or less money from more or less anywhere. So not more or less anywhere, but do you know what I mean?
Speaking like you owe money to loan sharks or something. Dan, you know, you take what you can get, you know, never mind me. I put my body on the line for art. That's how you do it.
It's funny because, I mean, the amounts you're dealing with, I mean, you sort of go, you know, you go down Tesco's and you're thinking, oh, should I get the budget or should I get the Premier, you know, biscuits? Mm. And then you're on the phone to someone talking about 5 million, you know, someone going, well, we might put in 9 million, you know.
Just say 9 million, you stingy bastard. Come on, chuck in 10. Jesus.
Sort of choking on your chips.
on your posh biscuits, mate, your Tesco finest.
I was talking to somebody the other day and he said, you know, that Elon Musk, you know, we've got 10 Teslas. And I can't bring myself to buy another. My commiserations.
You know? I was about to say, can't relate, cannot relate.
Oh, they say nurses have it tough. Well,
From Karis, sorry, Frank, I was just saying for comparison, I the other day was strongly debating going for Foster's instead of Cruz Campo. I didn't plunge to those depths, similar. Thank God, but you know, this is the sort of different levels we're working at here. So thanks for gracing us when you're rubbing shoulders with people with almost 10 Teslas.
A fleet of Teslas. Nice.
I like variety.
We've jumped in with saying you're a director and mentioned film. We haven't really introduced you. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and who the bloody hell are you?
Well, I'm Aquarius. I like and I'm the director of Excalibur, which is a fantasy film about the original Welsh story of King Arthur, taken from sort of sources like the Mabinogi and the Book of Taliesin and all these original sources that very few people, I think, know that King Arthur was not King Arthur. He was Arthur. He's exactly. Welsh.
You're hitting all the buzzwords for us, mate. Like you say, Taliesin, you're saying Welsh myth, you know, this is what we're all about.
Yeah, I mean, they are magic, and essentially what happened, what we're always getting is remakes of the Welsh myth of King Arthur, and some of them are wonderful, like Lord of the Rings and Star Wars is a remake of King Arthur's. King Arthur is the story of a boy with a mysterious father who gets a magic sword and learns magic from a wizard, and Star Wars is...
That's essentially it, isn't it, if you boiled it down?
Yeah. I mean, the lightsaber is Excalibur. Mm. And he's got very... And what happened in... I think it was about 30... Am I right? I don't want to get the date wrong. Maybe it was 14...
Mate, do not worry about getting your date wrong on this podcast, okay? This would not be the first time.
I think it was about 1485, Thomas Malory essentially collated and nicked the Welsh version or the Welsh story of King Arthur and medievalized and Christianized it. And that's when all the Holy Grail. And
I was just going to say, that's where the sort of Christian iconography comes into it, isn't it? Because the original, that wouldn't even have been about yet, would it? Mm. You know, the sort of Christ and Holy Grail stuff. Am I right in thinking it would have been originally a kind of more pagan Celtic type thing?
It is.
Because like in certain, we've touched on the Mabinogi before, and like one of my favorite stories is Cilhwch and Olwen. And Arthur like cameos in that. And it's a very, very different kind of setup. Like all these Knights of the Round Table, like, what's his name? Gawain and all that. I can't think of the Welsh word now. That's awful for this podcast. That's the one. Yeah. They have like magical powers, like they can grow as tall as a tree and things like that. It's a lot more mystic.
Yeah, I mean, I think the word maybe you're looking for is fun. I mean, I loved John Borman's Excalibur, which was 1981, and that was the perfect rendition of the Thomas Malory, the sort of Anglo-Norman version that everybody knows.
Is that the one with Helen Mirren?
Yes.
Morgana, yes. I watched that not so long ago, actually. Yeah, that is a very good, like, sword and sorcery flick, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. But it's, I mean, that is the sort of, that is a remake. That story is a remake of the Welsh version. And the Welsh version is it's still got Christian stuff in it, but it's heavily involved with, it's sort of interlaced with things like the bards and Merthyn is still Merthyn and not Merlin. Apparently Merlin, because the Anglo-French would have read it as Merdin, and which sounds to a French ear like Shitty the Wizard.
yeah
because so they changed it to Merlin apparently. But yeah, I think it is inflected very much with more pagan and much more sort of animistic and exciting. You know, as you say, weird things. There are chessboards playing themselves and, you know, dragons and strange creatures. And there's mentions of the other world and stuff. And that's what this film is really about. It's if you think about that film, Excalibur, the 81 version, and the Thomas Malory, the story we all know, which was, you know, as I said, sort of late medieval.
Yeah.
It's sort of full of things like, you know, he shags his sister by accident and then he has a half and his wife, Guinevere, is being unfaithful and all these things. And what I want is I want him to get a magic sword and kick ass with it. You know?
I think that's it, isn't it? People love seeing that, you know, the action side of it, as well as the mystical side. And you don't want to get bogged down too much, I suppose, in like you said, the incest bits and the having a half son, half brother. Like, you know, what's that adding? Let's just remove that.
It's a bit like it's a bit Game of Thrones-y. And as we're sort of, as we're aiming this as a global blockbuster, and we really want to export whale. We're bringing fantasy home, because Wales is his greatest export is fantasy, and yet Wales hasn't got the credit or the goodness from it. So that's what we want to bring back.
Absolutely, and realize how many sort of films, like famous films. Fantasy films especially, are filmed in Wales, and you just don't realise, because it isn't given its due, you know?
You know, we often talk about how we wish Wales would have its own version of Braveheart, with people like Llewellyn Fawr or Llewellyn Llewolaf, but then Scotland has a slightly better story because it withstood the English for longer, or the Irish have longer. I think Wales is like so perfectly placed to have these mythical ones, because that is our culture, and we have this, you know, this wealth of stories in the Mabinogion, and it's in so many areas across Wales. I think frame and film around that is so uniquely Welsh, and I'm so glad someone's finally doing it, because it's unjust how little Wales has had like recognition. But I think one thing we could carve
USP
out is this.
Like you say, exactly. Frank, isn't it? That's how we can differentiate, because although I'd love to see a almost beat for beat Braveheart version of Llewellyn Fawr or something like that, I would buzz on that as well. I wouldn't care if it was almost scene for scene, but with Welsh people, I'd
but
still
it wouldn't have the same broad appeal, would it? Where this
exactly
Wales is a
this
land
has
of
something
myth.
A bit different.
Yeah. It's and we there's a the prophecy in the film of the Mab Darogan, which is the son of the prophecy, sort of. It ends with, "Take courage, look to the west, a king will come," and that's sort of our motto, is look to the west, look to Wales, because the world is in such a shitty state now. We've got in this film, it's about something. It's about morality, really, in this, and the sense of common decency, that our heroes are complex in this. King Arthur and his team of kick-ass knights are complex and interesting and intelligent, well-drawn characters, but they're fundamentally good. You know, what we're saying through this is something very important for the world now. You know, when you commission stuff, my colleague George was a commissioner for TV. He's one of the producers, and he would always say, you know, why now? Why do we need it now? Well, we need heroes now. We need to see a model of how leadership can be in a sort of green world that's logical, with people who are decent, you know, who've got morals. And, you know, one of the things about Donald Trump is that it's not so much that he's bad, but he's trying to blur the distinction between good and bad. And we're saying, no, there is a distinction. You can be complicated and realistic,
but there is a line there, isn't there? I totally understand what you're saying. I like that idea of, I feel in like sort of recent years, maybe the last 10 years or so, you know, things with like, don't get me wrong, things like Game of Thrones and I'm trying to think of other things now that are huge sort of staples. So even not fantasy, but like you know, Last of Us and things like that, there's definitely been an uptick, I think, in like, oh, let's blur things and make things morally grey, and like, we'll have it's great for character building, I think, but so often they're these very flawed characters who do horrible things for the good reasons or for a certain reason. It's interesting that you're saying, let's have some characters that they have a line and they have a sort of a code to adhere to.
Since like 2016, people have been so scared to say, oh, actually, no, this is wrong. This is like fundamentally, this isn't how good people act. And like, I think I agree with you, Dan. Like, so many things kind of tread the board of being like, they don't want to like, they don't want to accuse one side or the other of being right or wrong. But in doing that, you kind of just have this blend of like awful people doing awful things, but no one calls it out for it. And I think that's in your trailer, when you say look to the West, I think that's kind of what's exciting. It's quite a bold and brave film coming out, which is exciting. And it's in Wales, so doubly exciting.
Yeah, double points.
Yeah, I'm very pleased. I mean, we are. Producing it in an interesting way as well. So, you know, the Hollywood model, you'll see, you know, the film and TV industry is in a really bad way. And one of the reasons, you know, I'm saying about getting money from anywhere, but if you think about it, we've got a very inspired, artistically inspired film. You can see that from the artwork and everything in the story. We've worked for, you know, four or five years on the script. Getting it absolutely, you know, that's the blueprint for this project. And it's really important. We've got these wonderful artists working on it. Some of the best, you know, the creature maker. Actually, I was going to show you one of the creatures because we can't put it on camera, but I could show it to you.
Oh, a little sneak peek behind the scenes. I love that.
Describe it. But what the other thing is, this is a multi-million pound business. So we've really got to, what we're doing by talking to you now while we're producing the film is we're starting to spread the word and recruit an audience and tell people about it. And we're doing things like, you know, we teamed up with people like the brewery, like Purple Moose, because we're doing a sort of co-branding thing. So they're advertising the film for us and we're sort of hopefully getting them some more sales to do it.
So you're bringing their beers on a podcast and saying how delicious they are.
I've got to say,
it's quid pro quo, isn't it?
I've nearly finished my bottle of Mosch Lager, which is absolutely outstanding. It's so nice. I don't know if I can handle the pale ales and all the fancier ones, but the lager is absolutely gorgeous. It's like a Grosch style. What's it called? I can't remember the name of it. Kolsch.
Like a Pilsner.
Kolsch, I think it's called. It's called Mosch. It's really nice. And it's got some awards on there. But yeah, I've nearly finished it. So that's
excellent.
Yeah.
They are really. So we're trying to team up with really decent businesses like them, who are Welsh. They put money into charity, local things. They provide local employment. And they're just socially responsible. And they're great for Wales. You know, this is a great Welsh business. And we're teaming up with loads of Welsh businesses to kind of recruit the country behind this project.
Yeah.
And like Peter Jackson did with Lord of the Rings in New Zealand, who are some of the people who did that are kindly advising us on this. So
that's exciting. That's
brilliant. I love that socially conscious as well, like King Arthur and his knights, just like them.
Echoing
the heroes of the past.
Well, Dan, would that be a good time to mention that you've got a Patreon where other people can get involved?
Oh, yeah, it is. Thank you for that. It's a Patreon where I'm trying to show people just anything interesting we can find to kind of show what's happening behind the scenes. It's a sort of DVD extras, but as we're making the film. And the point about that is, if we do it now while we're making the film, people's opinions can make a difference. I mean, 100%. There's no point market testing it after we've spent the entire budget.
Yeah.
Now is when people can actually help and tell people about it and enjoy the production process and take part. So.
And people actually do, don't they? So in the latest one, the rough edit for the new teaser, that's your words, not mine. there's a bunch of comments underneath where people are literally adding their 2p, where, you know, people are saying, because also the trailer's sick. It's like, it's slightly dark fantasy vibes, which I it's my favourite. For a while, that was a big trend on TikTok where they were making old things into like 80s dark fantasy vibes.
Yeah.
But there's all the comments underneath, like they'll either say I love it, but then they always add, oh, have you thought about this, blah 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 blah, and it's there's like a genuine discourse, which is exciting to see.
Yeah, it was giving me, I agree with Franks, with that like sort of you know, dark 80s fantasy vibe there. With it reminded me a bit of do you remember Ridley Scott's film Legend?
Yes,
Tom Cruise. It was giving me that sort of the feel of that, you know, the way you've sort of shot the woods behind and things like that. I'm not expecting you to get Tim Curry in a full-on devil costume. If you can wrangle it, by all means. But it was giving me really like, yeah, reminding me of that. It looks great.
Oh, brilliant. Well, no, I mean, I think Legend looked brilliant, and I'm really glad you said that, because one of the things that I think the problem with fantasy now is that people have seen everything on you know, in terms of CGI.
Yeah.
So they don't really, if you can have anything, you know, it's like in the Marvel Universe, if you can come back from death, then all the jeopardy is lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can see, you know, if you can have a dragon in a hat flying over, you know, through a... Mm. It doesn't make any difference. So we're really, really veering towards the very practical in for our effect.
I love to hear that.
And, and that's why Lord of the Rings can't be endured, isn't it? Yeah. Like, Lord of the Rings has endured so much because that focus on practical, and that's, you know, probably the best trick you've ever made. Also, just before we move on, just to let people know where they can find the Patreon, if they search Excalibur Film on Patreon, you can join the memberships there.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. Thanks a lot. That's great. Yeah, please do. It's above all, the Patreon is cheap. Mm. It's a quid.
There we go.
So above all, I offer value.
Well, there you are, listeners. You get over to Excalibur.
We'll link it in the post.
Shall I show you my monster? Yes, as they say.
Whoa.
Save that for when we're not recording, Dan. Sorry.
I knew this would happen in the film world.
Yeah.
We'd get here, we'd be absolutely got.
Yeah.
Should we put on our cameras and all?
Yeah, can you share?
Put on my camera.
Right, yeah, put your camera. Yeah.
Let's have a look. Go on.
And I'll get you there. No, hang on.
Oh, I like the sword in the background as
well. The life of a film director. I love this. She's got these props laying around.
Yeah, I've got his Excalibur, but here's one of the Excaliburs. This is the...
Oh, that is sick.
If I was you, I'd be swinging that around just like 20 minutes at a time, just going, woo!
What do you mean? If you were me, that's why... Basically, most of my life is swings.
The guy with 9 Teslas is blowing up your phone. You're like sending him a message. I haven't done my swinging today, mate.
This is actually a 3D printed.
Oh, wow.
No way. That looks ridiculously good for something that is a computer bloody made.
If you watch the the teaser online, you'll see this on the Patreon. Of course, the advantage I was going to say of showing the rough cut is it really improves it. Once it goes out, you can't really change it.
Yeah.
Mm.
People's comments are genuinely improving it. So it's fantastic.
Is that the sword you see in the teaser?
Yeah.
As you say?
Oh. Yeah.
My God, the magic of film. What can I say? Because it looks good here on the camera, you're saying, but in the film, it had, I don't know what you've done there, but it looks
so weighty in the film.
Yeah.
The film, it's got it's heavy in it.
Mm.
And this is actually what you're looking at is a plastic. I mean, it's, you know, whatever they print.
Yeah.
You print
magic.
Things, but this stuff is, this is tape from, you know, I think it's from the local pound shop. Mm-hmm. This silver tape, and you know, you can get away with a lot. Anyway,
mentioned about value, didn't you? There we are.
There you are. And this is Gary.
He's vicious.
Look,
that's Flamhiganadur. Oh my God, that's so good, man.
And this is an animated. This is an armature. He's got a sort of movable armature. He's got all sort of fur. I don't know if you can see.
Yeah, you can.
So, mate, that looks so good. I was just like, anyone who's listened to us, we've talked about Flamhiganadur before, right? And I always thought in my mind's eye, it looks kind of Flamhiganadur. He's crossed between like a frog, a bat, and oh, something else, I can't remember now. But he's like, in my mind, he's always been kind of goofy looking, something akin to like a child's, like something in a child's like TV show or something. I just want to tell the listeners now, we're looking at this. It's the most terrifying like rendition of this Slamming Madur.
It's like a bat mixed with like a fox mixed with some like spider,
like a spider's eyes. Yeah.
Well, these spider's eyes, he's got sort of a bundle of spider's eyes, and the artist's idea is that these bubble up and sort of pop.
Bloody hell. That's so like, that's so on point for like how these kind of creatures are written in mythology as well. These weird features you don't, that aren't sort of typical. You don't see them typically today in sort of fantasy and things. Why would its eyes burst out? You know, you think, why is that? But in mythology stories, especially in Welsh stuff, there's all sorts of things like that. Like, what's his name? It's King of the Giants. I can't think of his name now. He's so big that he has like chains attached to his eyes, and they have servants to lift his eyes for his eyelids for him and stuff like that. You know, batshit stuff like that. I'm all for it.
Yeah, he's I just told the. I mean, again, it's not something I can take credit for, but I told the artists to just come up with a nightmare, and so he did sort of a rat, so it's a rat bat creature. And Dave, one of the artists, said that when he materializes, he comes through sort of from an oven, the other world almost, and he materializes in a. In a kind of a sort of inky gloop, and so he's quite disgusting. I think he's made by Amanda Thomas, who's done. She's our creature lady, and she did Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Wes Anderson,
no way! What's one of my favorite films ever?
Oh, is it? Right? Mm. Yeah.
I was going to say, because it looks a bit like Weasel, the fox's villain. So Fox gets into a knife fight with Weasel in Fantastic Mr. Fox in the Wes Anderson film. And it has that kind of slender, creepy body nature to it. And it's, that art frame. I love that kind of art style. And it is kind of like, you can't capture that when you use computers. When you use computers and stuff, it doesn't kind of catch that.
Yeah, there is something lacking, isn't it? Yeah, like you said before, Frank, so the reason Lord of the Rings holds up so well is all that practicality that went into it. And I'd say the bits that, as much as I love the series, the only bits that are sort of do date quite quick are the massively CGI bits.
Yeah.
That's very true. Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. I think if you saw the Rings of Power or the Hobbit, you know, those are CGI orcs, and the ones in the Lord of the Rings were practical. I think they just the example we always draw is old Yoda v new Yoda,
and we 100%.
We all prefer the old one because you knew it was a puppet, but you didn't care he was there.
You're talking to Franks, who's an absolute inept at cultural milestones when it comes to films. He only just watched Harry Potter like this year. So he's well behind on these references.
I love film, but I'm rubbish with like big films. So like I'm a wanker and I watch
he's a hipster, he's too cool for bloody franchise movies.
I'm just a bit too cool for that. I hate like just the tedium of American Hero beats some innate, you know, like I've never seen Mission Impossible. I don't know if that's about that, but I just don't see
I hate that thing. I don't know if that's what it is because
only ever seen one Marvel. I saw the very first Marvel, I thought, nope, not for me. But then I do love Lord of the Rings too. I watch it every single year, and I'm a big fan of cinema. I went to cinema 3 times last week, so I do love cinema, but I'm not a big blockbuster
posting your credentials.
I watch Sinners, Until Dawn, and Warfare, just in case you
Havoc.
I love how you're talking to a film director, Franks, and you're like going, I've actually seen 3 movies this week, so
to answer Dan's question, Havoc was filmed on my street where I lived down the bay, and they kept us up because they were filming like Night for Night, and they gave everyone on their street accommodation for the week, but they didn't on ours. And I went to say, "Oh, guys, this is ridiculous. I'm so tired. You'd be getting every day." And they're like, "Oh, it's the last day of filming." But had I gone a few days before, the guy said they'd given us a hotel, which was great to hear. But me and my wife are going to watch Havoc on Sunday night, actually.
It looks amazing. It looks, I mean, it's Gareth Evans.
Gareth Evans, yes,
And
he's great. His action scenes are like, they're almost, I'd say they're unparalleled almost. Yeah. They're so good. And I didn't realize when I first watched it, it's all filmed in Wales.
All filmed in Wales and all produced in Wales. So all the post editing and all the filming was all done in Wales. So
it's Ed Talvan produced it and Gareth Evans directed it. And I met them like about a year and a half ago, and I was telling them about this song, and I was going to, and then was this Welsh film, and we're going to do it, like we're going to do King Arthur, and it's going to be Welsh. And and I was sort of promising about showing them the sword fights and stuff, and they were going, it's good.
I'm glad Tom Hardy didn't do his Welsh accent from Locke in it, to be fair, though. Yeah. I'm glad about that. He just kept a nice American one in. That's fine.
There's a car chase in it, and there's drones and everything. It's amazing. It looks just, I mean, the whole thing looks incredible.
And it's the way it looks, like you said, the feel of it is great, isn't it? Like the sort of the look and the cinematography.
The thing I love about Gareth is that he shoots on, I know it's like 80 million or something, that film, but it's, what he uses is relatively cheap equipment. Like I think the cameras he uses, are under 10 grand. And he keeps really light. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of gatekeeping in film. Like, you've got to have this kind of equipment. And
this huge IMAX camera and whatever. Yeah.
And you can't do it unless you're with a big studio. And he's just got a camera, and like you got a crew of six or something, and then ran off and made The Creator, and it looks
the creator looks better than a lot of like budgets that have like four times a lot of films that have four times the budget. It's like The Creator looks incredible.
He's really an inspiration in terms of his craft, but also in terms of just getting up and doing stuff, which I'm a huge fan of. You know, Guerrilla making stuff, everyone's got the means to make a film on them every day, you know, that your phone is so powerful. I hope with this film will be one of the ways we want to spread the word about it, is teaching, because I teach script writing and screenwriting, and Amanda teaches monster making, and then Kenan, the fight director, teaches stage combat. So if we want to go around and sort of introduce communities to this,
Jack's dream. Jack's a really good 100%. Writer, and script writing is what you love doing, isn't it? So you should get in on that.
Far too kind to me there. I'd say I describe myself as below amateur. if I could
listen, if you've written anything, then you're a writer. I mean, that's, people always want a certificate or some sort of, you know, they feel like they need some qualification. Just write in your spare time, and write on your phone, because you've always got it with you. Make notes. You've got to do it in your spare time, because you'll never get a sort of green light to go, okay, you can quit your job and be a writer now.
Yeah. That's the kind of affirmation I need, mate. Scribble something down on your phone, you are a writer, done.
We're planning on doing a book for the pod, aren't we? And when Jack sends me his stuff, he's such a good writer for them. I just try and write stupid jokes. But Jack's got, you love it, don't you? But I think it's because you watch so much films. Like, Jack is a cinephile, as more like than anybody else I know. He just absorbs films constantly. So when we had you on, Dan, I knew it was an exciting time for Jack, because he loves it.
I know we introduced you as Director Dan. That's because we've been calling you that, like, as your nickname, Director Dan, for a while since this has been on the cards.
I'll take it. I'll take you know, king or any sort of your lordship, any
hero, personal
Lord
hero.
Dan. Yeah.
So I was listening a few months ago, and you said, "Oh, we're going to have this director on. We're going to have a director on." You said, Jax, you said something. Oh, it's not bloody Spielberg. Don't calm down. I thought, right. God, you.
It's something better. It's a Welsh orientated director.
How far along are you with production?
Well, that's a strange question because we're quite far along with the design, but we're still financing it, so we can't really say we're in production. As I suppose we're in between development and pre-production. But again, what we're trying to do is there's this thing in business, agile business, which is where you sort of decide where you want to go and then start and hope that you know, see what opportunities of try one thing and then try another.
Yeah.
So in a sense, we're doing that, although it sounds very disorganized. We've assembled a team and we're starting out. We are talking to potential investors and Creative Wales and all these people, but we are also kind of just telling people that we're doing it and recruiting the country behind this idea of a great new epic fantasy that is the sort of tip of the sword for Wales to conquer the world with fantasy, with its own product, you know. Fantasy. Yeah.
It's all, that'd be great to have like a big groundswell like that, you know, the sort of Wales back it as a kind of country backing it, because like you said, it's our sort of could be one of our biggest exports, you know, because it's the niche that we sort of have a hold on.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, you know, I know you like Lord of the Rings, don't you? One of you is a big Tolkien fan, aren't you?
Mm.
But the I'm interchanging you a bit like Anton Deck there. I can't remember. Probably you can't.
To be fair, we're both big Lord of the Rings fans, but Jack's more of the reader. He's more of the nerd.
Yeah. I could be like, oh, do you want to know about the lore in the Second Age?
Well, if you think about New Zealand's economy went up by about 40% or something because of those films. And, you know, what you've got in New Zealand is a place that looks like a place in a film. You know, you've got Hobbiton. It looks like a place in a film of a book that is set somewhere else. And what we've got is the places that actually, where it actually happened. You know, you know, go to Borth Beach. You've got, that's where Taliesin washed up. I mean,
there's so much of that. You're so right in that, like, I always, you know, you can see why they picked New Zealand. It's got so many different sort of types of landscape and things like that. But we have that in Wales as well. You know, we absolutely have that in Wales. We've got mountain peaks, we've got wetlands, we've got marshlands, we've got woods, we've got, you know, like smooth plains, we've got all sorts of stuff. And like you said, that's where these stories were actually born. This area.
Havoc brought $265 million into the Welsh economy. And that's because they kept it all. Like, Wales is great for filming and it's getting bigger. We've done a podcast, we've done a couple of podcasts actually about films in Wales. But it's the Welsh government missed out when Game of Thrones came. They originally asked Wales to film lots of the north in Wales and they said no. So then they went to Northern Ireland.
In Game of Thrones, you're on about, yeah.
So what did I say? Lord of the Rings.
You didn't say anything. You just said they originally asked.
The guys from Game of Thrones originally asked Welsh government for like tax support and filming support to film the north. So all of the Stark story in Wales, but they turned it down and it went to Northern Ireland. And then after that, they were like, oh, shit, we missed out here. So they said yes to a lot of things, and they've set
didn't
up
they put
studios.
A lot of money on a bastard execution, didn't they? Yeah,
which only
talking
I
about backing the wrong horse.
Yeah. I feel like I'm the only person who watched that show. It had Ed Sheeran in it, and no one watched it. But, I do think Wales is like, it's becoming, and it's been coming for a while, but it's a great place for filming locations. And like you said, the stories originate here, so why not film it here?
Yeah, and it's, everybody we talk to about it goes, oh, that's a brilliant idea. I've always loved King Arthur and stuff like that. And then, I think one thing I'd say is if you want something, enjoy it loudly, otherwise it'll disappear quietly. I mean, we won't disappear quietly, but if you want to see this happen, say so. You know, we've got social medias and stuff. We've just got on the old Instagrams and.
Where can people find you on there? Is that Excalibur Film?
It's always Excalibur Film. Yeah, yeah. I think on Instagram it's Excalibur with Film with two F's.
We'll post about it on our socials, so anyone.
We'll link everything, in, mate. Yeah, definitely. No.
But you know, people just talking about it will help, and we want to do things like, you know, traditionally, if you're filming a crowd scene, you'd fence it off. You know, you'd buy out the place. For example, if we're doing it, I don't know, at a filming a Welsh castle or something, we'd have to buy it out for, you know, close it for a week or something, and then film it, and then we'd have to security, and then we'd make sure nobody could see it and take photographs and things. That's the old way of doing things, I think, which doesn't really work anymore. So we want to involve the community and get everyone taking selfies and, you know, photographs. Well,
that's the sort of buzz you want, that sort of groundswell, isn't it? Like, I'd love the idea. Imagine you're talking to some bloke in the pub or something like that, and where have you been today? Oh, did you see that thing, Dan, that they caught? They were filming XYZ. Yeah. What's that about? Well, I know about that. It's an Excalibur Film that's coming out.
When Shia LaBeouf comes to film something in Wales and he's down, like, Penarth Pier, everyone starts taking photos and then starts talking about it. And I said, that's such a good way of... I think that's a really clever way of making social media work for you, Dan. If you're like, yeah, don't do the old stuffy way of saying you can't see this. Be like, be part of it. Just tell people you were there at the start. And we've done this podcast from nothing. Like, we started it as two idiots, and we got a really great following.
Could argue we still are. Yeah.
Well, we still are, but people care. And like you said, if you don't make a noise, it'll go away. And we filled like a bit of a void where there wasn't kind of accessible Welsh history, and we filled a bit of that gap. And people have been, all, you know, we have no money put into this. And the only reason it's grown is because people have told their friends and people have shared it, people have liked it. And I think the people in Wales are so passionate about being Welsh and getting representation. So I think, lean on that is a great idea.
Yeah, I think, it's a lovely podcast. It really is. I mean, and it's just, you two are just good company. I mean, I think that's
very kind.
Say far too kind. Thank you.
Well, I've been paid by the brewery.
Yeah, this is all about the film. Don't worry about you say anything, won't you, to get us on site.
It's a lovely, it's a great listen, you know, because it is so unpretentious, and it does fill a void where there are fancy history podcasts, aren't there? And then there's this one where you feel like you're hanging out with friends. So it is great. And I think people... really misunderstand that when fundamentally, when you're an artist of any sort, you know, podcasting or film, you're in a conversation with your audience, and that conversation starts with a few people and spreads, and so you don't need multi-millions to start off with. You need a few people really enjoying it, and they will spread the word for you. So
absolutely.
You know, I really like the idea of starting small, organic, working out what works, and then spreading, conquering the world.
Yeah, I love that idea, like you said, of it getting that feedback from people as well, like on the Patreon and things like that. And sort of, it's almost like a collaborative effort then, you know, with the audience you're trying to reach in the first place. I like that idea. That's such a, like, and like you said, that's not what's done. That's not the done thing, is it? You know, you tend to see films are kind of made with people at the helm, and they know which way we want to go, and sometimes it turns out great, sometimes not so much. But the idea that you're involved in kind of the very audience you're trying to attain, I think that's a really good thing.
It gives people a sense of that it's theirs, because is, because they have actually, when if you're listening to the audience, it's very, very helpful. You know, if someone says, well, I don't really like that, you go, okay, well, maybe not. But then if a few people are saying that, you go, okay, yeah, you know, and then maybe I can change, maybe I can improve it. It's really
valuable. You've got this boy's vote for the Sam Higgins Adu design, mate. That looks so good. That looks sick.
We've got the Avanc as well.
Yes, all the big hitters. Yeah. I'm loving it.
There's actually a skeleton of a dragon in there, which is sort of, well, there's a shadow flying over. I shouldn't. There's not.
I say, what's this? Now we're getting inside scoop.
there's kind of a skeleton of a dragon, and that's sort of saying, well, once you've seen Smaug in The Hobbit, you've seen the best dragon that could ever be. I think.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
we can't do dragons anymore. So we got, and we don't, we can't do dragons. We can't do better than that. But we also don't need to, because we've got these Welsh mythological, you know, creatures. We've got the Echlithon, the sort of, I suppose, fairies.
Toloth Teg.
All sorts.
Our best episodes have all been Welsh mythology. So the ones that get thousands and thousands of downloads are all the ones, because someone has just searched on Spotify, Welsh mythology, and then we pop up. So they might not be as bothered about, say, you know, Captain Morgan or some of the more like medieval history. The ones that has the biggest appeal is always Welsh mythology. So we started doing one, and we discussed like the Tolwedd Teg, we discussed the Bwbach, like just funny little things that happen in Welsh history. And then we realized, oh, actually, this is what people care about. And some those people might not listen to the other episodes, but they always come back in. They, every time we release a mythological episode, it's the
there's most a definite popular. Appetite for it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the thing again is that it's sort of. It's so funny how blatant and obvious it is. But when you think about, for example, Gandalf, and you can't do Merlin anymore because Ian McKellen's done Merlin perfectly.
Yeah.
And Merlin's so Merlin is a bard. And the wizards came from the idea of the wizards came obviously from the bards and the lore of the bards is very complex. I mean, the laws of Welsh poetry and rhetoric and the concept of Awen, and it's all, there's a huge sort of hinterland of lore that we can dig into and present to the world. And I think that people will find it, all the people who loved the authority and the integrity of the world that Tolkien created will love learning about this because it's what Tolkien loved so much and learned from.
I was going to say, because Tolkien was a big fan of the Welsh language, the Welsh in general. And it's so interesting what you say then about like the bard is kind of like the precursor to a wizard. It's like, it's that's that cool. Idea that language is kind of like a magic in itself. And I like that, you know, like in Wales, like you said, there's things like Awen and Cynghanedd, these rules that we have in Welsh poetry. And like sort of that they're almost like how you'd construct a spell, you know. I love that sort of the similarity between that. That's, you've touched on something there and made my brain sort of go a little bit fuzzy, going, oh yeah, I like that.
I think it's very cool.
It's like in the beginning was the word, you know. It's almost like the Anuvan, the other world, being almost a sort of. It's almost the blueprints for the physical world, and the idea that we're very, the way we've interpreted everything is that the language is, it's almost, it's so important. It's also, it's almost the language of creation. And, that's a very sort of bardic concept. I think the sort of importance of language and symbology and the importance of, you know, the bards had the idea that your the structure of your language, the phrases you use, your intent, all these were things were very important. And so we've taken that as a sort of the rules of our the laws of magic in our world.
I like that the
bards create. So there's an almost sort of elision between the language and the magic.
That's something so hard to create. I've noticed in like to do something very successfully, like create a magic system in a kind of world like that, a fantasy world, is very difficult. I've noticed, you know. Well, I imagine it is because you've got to make it accessible enough that you under like an audience member can just come in and understand it straight off the bat. And also have it make sense within the world that you're sort of creating. So yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it exists already. So we're just, you know, we're kind of. I think the thing about what George Lucas and Pete Jackson did, you know, the directors of Star Wars and Lord of the Rings and stuff like that, was they showed us how to present it to a mainstream filmic audience, how to almost. Confect these massive mythologies, and present them to a film going audience.
Yeah.
Even though they were sort of almost imitation, it sounds demeaning, but imitations of the original stories, but they're still brilliant. But they showed us how to do it, and that way is not to sort of demean or reduce them, but give them a bit of it, and then let them research the rest. So, for example, there's very little Welsh language in this film, because that just won't travel to America or China.
Well, yeah, and for the unfortunate reality, isn't it, is that if you made a completely Welsh film, you're kind of limiting your audience from the get-go, then, aren't you, to us and what, Patagonia? That's about it, really.
But what you do is you put some Welsh in there. The Welsh is for spells, names and exclamations and things like that. So you tell people it's there, and you give people, it gives the world an authority, but you don't have to, you know, we're not sticking to rigorous, you know, how it sort of in inverted should be. Because if you want the Mabinogi, read the Mabinogion.
Yeah.
This is a film, you know.
Well, honestly, like as a Welsh person, any sort of touch on Welsh language, culture, anything in a film, I love seeing that anyway. It can be the lightest touch ever. I was saying,
you look at the success of. Sorry, go on.
Go on. No, go on.
I was just going to say on that point, you look at how well Welcome to Wrexham is done, and that's all in English, but it will add Welsh language throughout it. You know, there'll be some points where we'll see the name in English, the name in Welsh beneath it. And now Wales is on the radar, even though it's an English thing. It has such an important, like it puts Wales as the focus, and I think that's the important thing. Some people get so hung up on language to the detriment. You know, I understand the preservation is so incredibly important, but if that's your sole focus, then you lose what the reality of the rest of Wales is. And I think, I think having an object, if this film had no Welsh in it, you'd be like, oh, that's strange. But I
think, like, as well, all you need is like a bit of a foot in the door. Do you know what you're saying? That the Welsh is the, say, the language of your magic in Excalibur, the film. That's great, because people will go, oh, that's like this fantasy language about magic.
Let's figure out more about it.
Maybe some people go, what's that? Oh, it's actually, you know, they'll look up on the trivia on IMDb or something. Oh, the magic language in this is actually Welsh. What's Welsh? What's Wales? Blah, blah, blah. And then you've got someone else interested in Wales then. You know, that's the game, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Just give them a glimpse of what's possible. A little
sizzle reel.
Peek through the curtain. And then, you know, there's this world behind it. I always remember watching, when I was a kid, watching Star Trek, and they had something called the Heisenberg compensators. And it wasn't like they didn't introduce Heisenberg's uncertainty principle or something. They were just called Heisenberg compensators. And that made me sort of research and look up a wonderful word. But if you listen to, you know, if you listen, you know, the clamhic in the door, you know, there's a point where they go, what is it? And so it says, clamhic in the door. And that's that, you know, that's fucking magic. You said water leaper, they go, what's that?
Yeah, but clamhic in the door, like you said, it's almost like you're speaking like an ancient or like forgotten or forbidden even language, and you're like, you have to whisper it. It's so, you don't even, it's so scary, you can't even say it, you know?
I love that.
And we've heard Welsh, we've heard Elvish rather, you know, for the past 20 years. If you've been watching fantasies, and then you can, you know, I'm hick in a door, it has a rhythm, it's freighted with meaning and a whole culture behind it. So I think it's, you know, it has a real,
like I said, that Wales has its roots in so much fantasy. It's just unheard of, isn't it? Like you said, to bring it back home, I think it's well overdue.
Yeah, I agree.
Is there anything else that you want to get across to anybody else before we wrap this up? Because we're coming towards the hour mark. Are there any strong calls to action for we've mentioned the name, it's Excalibur, and where people can find a little bit more on the Patreon. But do you have any little final remarks to make before we sign
off? I think we've got excaliburfilm.com as well. We're just starting out, so we're just starting out to do these this outreach thing. And I will say, you're the first podcast I've been on. So,
honour.
Yay.
The best first, of course, Dan. Thank you very much.
I'd like to come back, if I may, and give you...
We'd love to.
Updates, you know, that would be
100%, mate. 100%.
It's been a genuine such a joy to chat to you, because we see this a lot, but when anyone's passionate, I could just hear them talk all day. But talk about something passionate that we care an awful lot about, and it's cinema, which we also care an awful lot about. It's so exciting. And to speak to someone who's like, who's putting Wales at the forefront of it, it's like, wow, this could be huge. And that's really fun to
Franks can testify to this, but when we first started out, we were testifying about what we were like thinking, what can we do a podcast about next to that? All my ideas were based around film, right? I was like, watch a film and do this, watch a film and do that. And we eventually settled on Welsh history and things like that. But it's always been in the back of mind going like, oh, it's great if we can, every time we can touch on film and like just bring it in, you know, sort of strong arm it into the conversation, I'm buzzing about it. So the fact we've got like,
anytime.
Honestly, the fact we've got a director of not only just a film, but a film that's based in Wales, it's filmed in Wales. It's all about getting people to watch and learn about a Welsh story. It's a highlight, mate. It's been absolutely fantastic having you on, and you are more than welcome to come back.
Bless you. Thank you so much. It really has been a pleasure. And I do listen to you nearly, I've listened to nearly every episode while I'm doing something, you know, I'm doing something boring and physical. It really keeps me company.
Oh, you're too kind.
But what I'd say is, you know what, we're going to be doing some location scouting, so we could do one of your chaotic ramble episodes. we've got to do one from the set.
Well, I've just ordered.
We've got your crate of beer to go and use, mate. So yeah, why not?
I've just bought some fancy new mics, which I've tested, and they actually finally fucking work. We spent hundreds on shit mics.
Oh, the same, mate. You said this for the last fucking three, four bloody mics we've had.
But that means we'd love to come on and do a little trip. So we could do a three-man ramble. That'd be lovely.
Oh, that would be brilliant. I enjoyed the last one so much because, so no offense, it was just like, oh, look at that. That's good, isn't it? Oh, yeah,
good. You've just summed us up when we're on our little on the ground part.
Well, that was brilliant. Oh, bless you. Thanks very much. I would love to come on again. I will. And at the drop of a hat.
No problem, man. We'll definitely do it.
We'll put all the notes we mentioned today. Oh, yeah, all the links and stuff in the notes.
It'll be links galore, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, diolch, Dan, and thanks for listening so far, guys. Catch you on the next episode. Cheers. Ta-da.
Cheers all. Ta-da.